And what I have to share with you today is this, and hopefully we'll go to the next slide, is I'd like to share with you today and talk to you about the benefits or the spiritual benefits of gratitude or having a grateful spirit. As we enter into this Thanksgiving season, Thanksgiving provides us with an opportunity to focus on something that is entirely important, as Reda read from the Word of God, for our peace and healthy spirituality. As we reflect back, and I know we're not at year end as such, we're in November, but when you look back over the last year, you see that our attention has been distracted by COVID, by politics, by change even in the workplace, and in our lifestyles have changed. And to a varying degree, some of us are feeling worn out or even unsettled by what we've been through. And as a result of that, we find it hard to be in a place of joy or be in a place of contentment or be in a place of peace. And I want to encourage you that no matter what we've been through or what obstacles we're facing, the challenges that might lay ahead for you, this week of Thanksgiving gives us an opportunity to refocus our attention on what is important and to reboot or refresh our spirits. Even as you reflect on the year, and you might think, well, I don't really have a lot to be grateful for, you can still give your heart and your attitude a reboot, so to speak. Interesting, in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 to 18, we see the power of a positive attitude that, and like I said, no matter where you are on the scale, you can always have a change of attitude, and so despite your surroundings. Here we see somebody, Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17, verse 18, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. I mean, that's a dire situation for sure. Yet what does the author say? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in God my Savior. And so Thanksgiving gives us that opportunity to transform our lives from those of griping or being grumpy or dissatisfaction. Thanksgiving gives us an opportunity to live lives of joy and gratitude, to turn the corner and become grateful people. And it's God's heart for us as a people that we be people of thanksgiving and gratitude. Now, I was already, even in the week of preparing and just allowing this word to sink into my heart, thinking about expressing gratitude. So on my way to pick up Seth, I know that Reda took an opportunity to personally thank everybody that's serving in the church, but just had a word with him on the way to church this morning. I'm so grateful for you volunteering your time and effort to come and drum for us on the band and just expressing gratitude. It was just a warm moment together as we were driving back to the church. But I know that I need to become a more grateful person, and I need to express my gratitude more. I know it's something that I need to work on. So as you're personally thinking about that, let me ask you this. Do you consider yourself a grateful person or not? I have some questions for you as you think about that. Which do you tend to talk about more, your blessings or your disappointments? Reflect on your conversations the last few weeks. Are you a complainer, always grumbling, finding fault with your circumstances? Are you content with what you have or always dissatisfied and wanting more? Do you find it easier to count your blessings or is it easier to count your afflictions? Do you express thanks to others when they help you, or just take it as your due? Would others say of you that you are a thankful person? Alan Perkins says that A thankful spirit is one of the key distinguishing marks of a Christian. It sets us apart from the world, and it makes us different. Psalm 118, verse 1, David says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." And so we can see that from a spiritual and Christian point of view, being a thankful person is important. And there are many ways that being a grateful person can benefit you. So this morning, let's focus in on what are some of the practical benefits of a grateful spirit or a grateful attitude. And number one is this. The first benefit is that being a grateful person can and does increase your personal happiness. Now, most of us, when we think about happiness, and particularly as just in general, would say that for the most part, our happiness is dependent on our circumstances. If you consider your current circumstances and your happiness quota, so to speak, or level, on a scale of 1 to 10, are you happy right now? Are you a happy person? Where would you rate yourself in terms of happiness? And some might say, well, based on what I'm going through right now, maybe I'm at a 2 or a 3 based on my current circumstances. And generally, we've been taught that happiness is dependent on how well things go for us. But really, the truth is that our happiness is determined by attitude. Now, you can see, for example, the from Scripture, the Apostle Paul, while he was incarcerated, while he was imprisoned, while he was enduring hardship, that's not a very pleasant circumstance to be in, but yet from Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, I don't think I have it up there, but he says this, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say it, rejoice." And so even we learn from Paul that despite his circumstances, despite being in prison, he had the opportunity to reflect and say, be thankful for God in every circumstance that you are in. Rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, in reflecting on his personal attitude towards life and living, he said this. He said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, "Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord." How do we get to that place of being able to rejoice and to sing and make music from our heart and be a content or happy person? He says, "Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." The biblical definition of what it means to rejoice in the Lord always is this. The biblical definition, rejoice in the Lord always, is to have an attitude of contentment and gratitude that transcends circumstances. That's what it means to rejoice in the Lord always. That our attitude, our gratefulness, our expression of thanks, our joy, the attitude of our heart, our perspective on life should always be driven by gratitude. And so we have that perspective. Maybe some of you have heard this story before, but a reminder this morning, a young woman wrote her mother from college, "Dear Mom, sorry I haven't written sooner. My arm really has been broken. I broke it and my left leg too when I jumped from the second floor of my dormitory when we had a fire. We were lucky. A young service station attendant saw the blaze and called the fire department. They were there in minutes. I was in the hospital for a few days. Paul, the service station attendant, came to see me every day. And because it was taking so long to get our dormitory living again, I moved in with him. He's been so nice. I must admit also that I am pregnant. Paul and I plan to get married just as soon as he can get a divorce. I hope things are fine at home. I'm doing fine and will write more when I get the chance. Love, your daughter, Susie. P.S. Mom, none of the above is true, but I did get a C in sociology and I flunked chemistry. I just wanted you to receive this news in its proper perspective. So happiness is really determined by our perspective in life, not our circumstances. And we need to learn to be grateful people despite our circumstances. And as a result of that, it will increase our personal happiness as well. Secondly, the spiritual benefits of gratitude. Being grateful will also improve your witness for Christ. Having a notable countenance of thankfulness and joy will certainly make us better witnesses for Jesus Christ. Not here, but in some churches that I've experienced or been in, Christians can sometimes be the most negative or sour people in the world. And maybe you've been exposed to people or even mean-spirited, or people that might have seemed like they were baptized in vinegar instead of water. I don't know if you've ever met somebody say, man, I don't know what was in that baptismal tank, but you turned out like a prune. No, I'm just kidding. You know, like, right? You know, we need to be people that other people are attracted to. And when we're thankful and joyful and upbeat, people are attracted to us. And we need that, especially when you look around in the world today. You know, people are so discouraged. People are lonely. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 says this. It says, live such good lives among the pagans that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. And definitely, I believe that living in gratitude and thankfulness will definitely attract people to us. It's actually something that I'm going to develop further next week in terms of how do you actually get to that place, especially when you're in the midst of a storm or difficult circumstance. I'm looking forward to that next week. But having a grateful attitude improves our witness for Christ. For example, again, we see Paul and Silas being imprisoned, and first of all, they were beaten, stripped naked, they were put in stocks, they were probably in the worst condition of anybody in the entire prison. And you would think from the outside world looking in, as somebody who is not saved or even not a person of faith, you think about the other prisoners that were in there with Paul, and they were thinking, man, I'm lucky I'm in a cell. I've got a bunk. I've got a blanket here. But look at Paul and Silas. They knew they were Christians. You know, they're even in a worse condition than us. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes, or I wouldn't want to be them. Is that what happens when you serve the Lord? Yet despite their circumstances, what were Paul and Silas doing while they were in prison? Worshiping, singing, rejoicing, being thankful, expressing gratitude. And that had such a tremendous effect on the prisoners that when the prison was shaken and the walls came down, you would have thought the prisoners would have gapped it out of there, but instead they stayed. And I believe as a result of the witness of Paul and Silas expressing gratitude, it drew them to Paul and Silas, and I believe many were saved. So Paul and Silas were an effective witness, even in the midst of such terrible circumstances. And we're going to develop that more. Thirdly, being a grateful person, another benefit, it will also enhance your personal relationships. Now, I'm not going to comment on this relationship, and I'm not going to comment on your relationships as married couples, but just a general commentary, if you don't mind, that of what I've noticed in some relationships. Okay, maybe you're not married, but you have relationships, that over time, as you are spend time with people, sometimes you get to that point where people are always taken for granted, so to speak. And, you know, if you look at the marriage relationship and expressions of gratitude, I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story here. The husband, seeing that the wife has a cold, and this is in the first few years of marriage, "Honey, you don't look good. You should go to the hospital. I've already arranged it for you. I know the food is bad there, but we're going to have meals catered in." A few years down the road, he says, "Honey, you don't look so good. I've called the doctor. Go and lay down. I'll take care of the kids. The doctor will be right over." A few more years pass by. "You know, honey, you're not looking so hot. When you're done feeding the kids and cleaning up the kitchen, you ought to go lay down." A couple of years more down the road, this is the attitude. "Would you quit walking around here barking like a seal? You're going to give me a cold. What do you think you're doing?" The longer we become familiar, the less thankful we tend to become for each other. And so I want to encourage you, husbands are here, as you reflect on that, why don't you take this week of Thanksgiving to consider and to reflect on how you can express your gratitude and thankfulness for your wife and all that she does. Wives, think about how much you could encourage your husband and affectionately appreciate him and tell him how much you appreciate all the things that he does for you and for your home. Children, take an opportunity this week to tell your parents how much you love them and are thankful for all that they do for you and provide for you and the security that they provide. Here in the church, as we're talking about how gratitude can improve personal relationships, take time to express thanks for one another in your personal interactions and communication. Again, we look at the example of Paul. As he wrote to the churches, he demonstrated this, that even in the church, we need to continually enhance our relationships by expressing gratitude for one another. And so look through these series of introductions of Paul in Romans chapter 1 verse 8 to the church in Corinth. He says, "I always thank God for you. To the church in Ephesus, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering in my prayers. To the church in Philippi, I thank my God every time I remember you. To the church in Colossae, I thank God when I pray for you." And so Paul made sure that he let the churches know how thankful that he was for them. Paul then said, "Follow my example. I've set an example that you should do as I have done." And so our relationships with each other are improved when we express gratitude. Fourthly, and probably one of the top benefits of expressing gratitude, is that gratitude helps you to solidify, to build, establish, or strengthen, put any verb you want in there, your relationship with God. Somebody once said that God lives in two places. Firstly, God lives in heaven. Secondly, God lives in a humble, grateful heart. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25 says, "Let us please God." How do we please God? By serving Him with thankful hearts. Harriet Martineau was an atheist. One morning, she and a Christian friend stepped out into the glories of a beautiful fall morning. As Harriet saw the brilliant sun peeking through the haze and the frost on the meadow, the brightly colored fall leaves making their way lazily to the ground, she was filled with the beauty and burst forth with, "I'm so thankful. I'm just so grateful for it all." And her believing friend asked, "Grateful to whom, my dear? Grateful to whom, my dear?" Confronting her atheist friend. But what her atheist friend was expressing is that it's God's will for us to give thanks. It's in our hearts to praise Him. It's in our hearts to rejoice. It's in our hearts to thank Him. And we need to spend time giving thanks to the Lord for everything that we have. And when we give thanks, when we express gratitude, we are drawn closer to God. God is pleased with us. He draws nearer to us. So those that walk in thankfulness, those that walk in gratitude, actually walk closer to the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." In everything give thanks. As we look at some of the benefits of gratitude, and going back to reflecting on the questions that I asked you earlier on a scale of 1 to 10, are you a grateful person, or would somebody say that you're a grateful person? How would others rate you? We've looked at the benefits, but I want to just end with three things that we can do as we focus on this week, and as we focus on, yes, we have the benefits of being grateful, but how can we move into a place where we actually have a change of attitude or a change of heart? How can we, if we're not already, how can we become more grateful? How can we become a more thankful person? And so here's how we can move into gratitude in order to experience those benefits. First of all, we need to remember that everything we have is from God. You need to acknowledge that everything we have is God's and not ours. In Psalm chapter 24, verse 1, David, who was a joyful, who had a heart after the Lord, who was thankful, who expressed gratitude, he begins by saying this: "Understand that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it." And when we do this, we remember, and it reminds us that it is a privilege that God has loaned us everything that we have. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "What do you have that you did not receive from God? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?" Boast as if you did not receive it from God. The story is told of a poor man who was given a loaf of bread. And he went and he thanked the baker, "Thank you for baking me this loaf of bread." But the baker said, "Don't thank me, go and thank the miller who milled the flour." And so he went and he thanked the miller. But the miller said, "Don't thank me, thank the farmer who planted the wheat." And so he went to the farmer and he thanked the farmer. But the farmer said, "Don't thank me, thank the Lord. He gave the sunshine and the rain, the fertility to the soil, and that's why you have bread to eat." And so at the end of the day, everything we own, everything we have, ultimately we have received from God, and we owe Him thanks for that. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father in heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting sand." Secondly, if we want to become more grateful, then it's like we were learning the last 3 weeks. How do you hear from God? And you've got to, in order to hear from God, there's a certain silencing or dampening of the other channels that we are exposing ourselves to in order to hear from the Lord. And it works the same way with gratitude. In order to be experience more gratitude and thankfulness, we have to consciously, secondly, we have to avoid complaining or dampen complaining. A doctor on the study, the idea, and he said this. Dr. Dale Robbins said, I used to think people complained because they had a lot of problems. But I have come to realize that they have problems because they complain. Complaining doesn't change anything or make situations better. It amplifies frustration, spreads discontent and discord, and invoke an invitation for the devil to cause havoc with our lives. Complaining makes us miserable. Just keep that in mind, that the next time you utter a word of complaint, are you actually opening up an avenue for the devil to come in and create havoc in your life? Complaining and discord and discontent and frustration leads to a place where your spirit becomes entangled, it becomes wrapped, it becomes restricted. David acknowledged that, and he said this in Psalm chapter 77, verse 3. He says, I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Nothing will dampen your spirits than complaining. It's an arch enemy of thanksgiving. It's diametrically opposed to gratitude. The two cannot exist within the same heart. I challenge you, as you think about this week ahead, as you think about even maybe extending it to a month, try and not utter a word of complaint for an entire month. Give yourself a challenge. I'm not going to express dissatisfaction. I am not going to complain. I'm not going to say anything negative for, okay, maybe a week, all right? Try a week. Okay, maybe a month might be a bit of an too much of a challenge. But if you were to give yourself that personal challenge, I tell you that after that week, your entire perspective on life and attitude would have changed. You would be walking in a certain freedom and peace and contentment and joy that you probably haven't experienced in quite a while. And if you can learn that lesson for a week and enjoy the benefits of it, why not extend it for a month? Why not try to get to that place where you're walking every day in that peace, security, contentment, happiness, and it's not dependent on an attitude. It's dependent on your circumstances. It's dependent on a choice that I'm going to make a conscious decision not to express a complaint about my circumstance or my relationship or my life or the server who served me. What is it that we don't like at JJ's? The home fries. See how hard it's going to be to get through a week? All right. So, but this is what, and if you don't believe that it's actually important, then why do you think this appears in the Word of God? It's Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, and you can use this as a kind of a spike to spike you a little bit there. What does it say? Do everything without complaining. I mean, it's in the Bible. It's got to be there for our good. Or arguing. So that you may become. It's a process. So that you can become. And this is what we all want. We want to become blameless and pure. That's the pursuit of holiness and righteousness, to become blameless and pure. Yet the process of getting to that place where we actually become Christ-like is found in the first instructions, to do everything without complaining. Can you, and I want you to maybe get that little bit of revelation that complaining actually destroying and pulling you back from and holding you back from where God intends you to be as a believer. And it actually gives the opportunity for the devil to hold you back, to keep you bound, to drag you back into a life of discontentment, despair, frustration, not getting there, feeling unsatisfied, unfulfilled, that you're not even walking in his will or that you lack purpose. And yet it's just something that all you have to do is change your attitude towards things and stop complaining, stop mumbling, stop being negative about things. And it says you become children of God without fault. Separate yourselves from environment and the society around you without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. And if you do everything without complaining and arguing, is the last comment here, in which you shine like stars in the universe. Man, to get to that place where your life shines like a star in the universe, all by just following those simple instructions, do everything without complaining and arguing, and this is the end result. Wow, I didn't realize that gratitude and thanksgiving can be so powerful in affecting us in our spirituality as we seek to serve the Lord. Lastly, or thirdly, what we need to do, then how do you get to that place? Do everything without complaining and arguing and experiencing the benefits? Thirdly, it actually has to be intentional. If you're going to have a change of attitude or a change of heart, then there needs to be actually not just wishful thinking that is going to happen at some point, but you actually have to make it intentional. And you need to be thankful. In order to become a thankful person, then it's important that you start to give thanks every day. If you're going to have to stop complaining and arguing and Paul says then, and giving thanks in everything you do, then it's a natural follow-on that every day we need to give thanks. So obviously we're entering a week of Thanksgiving, and Rita expressed thanks for all those, and I talked to Seth on the way to church, and I know I have to become more thankful. So yes, Thanksgiving gives us an opportunity to express thanks, but 1 week out of the year is not going to change your life. 1 week out of the year is not going to cause you to become a thankful or a grateful person. And it has to become something that you intentionally develop every day. And that takes discipline. Every day to go before the Lord and express thanks to the Lord our God. Spend time every day in prayer, thanking the Lord. Thinking about what you're grateful for, expressing it. Create a journal, write a notes on an app on your phone, call it a praise file, whatever you want to name that file. But every day, think about ways that you can express thanks and especially give thanks to the Lord. Again, a reminder of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always, always. Everybody say always.
Always.
That's the key word, not just Thanksgiving, but every day. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was going to put Rita on the spot, which I'm not going to do again, and ask her to sing an old hymn for me. I don't know what it is about old hymns that I've been inspired by recently. Seth and I traveling here this morning, and I said, hey, there's a hymn I want to sing after the service today. It's called Count Your Blessings. And he's like, I don't know if I've heard Count Your Blessings. So I put it up on my YouTube, and I pressed play, and it started playing. And as I listened to it, I thought, yeah, maybe we're not going to sing that today. Actually, what I do like is Leaning on the Everlasting Arms by Ladysmith Black Mambazo, and I played that for him, and he really appreciated that. He says, oh yeah, Brendan's got a lot of great African music, more than I do, that he sends to me. But I'm coming back to the point. There's a hymn. It's a reminder to us. Count your blessings. And this is, it says this. It says, when upon life billows you are tempest tossed. We're going to talk about that. Like I said, next week we're going to talk about how to endure storms in an effective manner. But when you are discouraged and you're thinking that all is lost, when you're in that place, it says, count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Amen. How many of you have heard that before, right? Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. That's why I'm not on the worship team, but I'm still grateful that I can express thanks and gratitude to the Lord. And I'm grateful this morning. Count your blessings every day. Name them one by one. Amen. I hope that you've been encouraged this morning. I hope that you've been able to grasp the magnitude of what it means to have a grateful and thankful spirit. And I'm hoping that you see the benefits of gratitude. And I'm hoping that we would become people or Christians, believers, that are able to give thanks to the Lord. And I know that as we do that, we will become, as that scripture said, shining lights in the universe that are drawing people to a grateful and thankful heart and draw their attention to the glory of God. Amen. I'd like you to bow your heads with me this morning. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word this morning. Lord, I just thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit, the work and power of your word. And I just pray, Lord, even as we surrender our hearts to you this morning, Lord, that you make us aware of certain negative attitudes, certain hurts, certain pains, certain discontent, certain things that we've gone through that have just kind of irritated us throughout this last year, that have sown discontent and robbed us of our joy and robbed us of our peace, robbed us of our happiness. And Lord, help us today to refocus, to reboot, cleanse our hearts, forgive us for complaining. Help us to become people that don't complain, that don't argue, but yet are people that every day take an opportunity to express our thanks to you. And I thank you for what you're going to do in our lives as you take us towards being pure and blameless, without fault, in a crooked generation. Help us to stand apart. Help us to be people of joy, that every day are able to raise up a song in our hearts, able to rejoice, able to express thanks, able to be thankful for all that you have done for us and are doing for us and will do for us. Thank you for everything. We give you the glory. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Look forward to you staying and help us decorate the church and get it all ready for Christmas. Pizza will be on its way. We'll feed you starving young people. Have a great week. Enjoy your time with family. And from me to you, happy Thanksgiving. Amen.